Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our scripture today comes from Matthew 21. Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a winepress in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same thing to them. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?
Thank you, Bea. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to come around your word, Father. And so we pray, Lord God, we want to slow down our thoughts, slow down our minds, and be here, be present here, Lord God, so that you can speak to us, so that we can hear from you. We don't want to worry about what's happened this morning or what's going to happen after service today, Lord God, but we want to be present in this moment, right here, right now. And so we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We welcome him today in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. And everybody says, amen. So good. So good to see you all today. So many new faces around. Wow, if I don't know you, good morning. Welcome. So we are starting. We're starting our new series called Sacred Space. And we're going to be looking at what going deeper in Christ can look like. Because among everything that is going on in our busy world, it is getting harder and harder to find moments to deepen our relationship with Jesus if we're not intentional about it, right? And so when we think about sacred space and going deeper into Christ, do we see it as making time to slow down? Do we see it as breaking out of the busyness of our life? Do we see it as removing the noise of what we're walking through? Or do we see it as an inconvenience because we're going to break our current rhythm of our life? I was talking with a lady at work this week, and she was telling me how in their life group, she's part of another church, and she was telling me about in their life group, they're doing this series on learning about Sabbathing. And she was saying, man, it's so hard to slow down. It's so hard to slow down. I don't know what you're like in making time with Jesus to pause, to stop, where you remove all the distractions and intentionally just sit there with him. Maybe many of us need something like that, to just stop, to just pause, to be able to stop and breathe and hear our own heartbeat again, right? To hear our own thoughts. Because in the busyness of life, man, it can be hard to think. It can be hard to hear ourselves. Being able to evaluate oneself and see, why do I do what I do? Why do I respond in the way that I respond? One of the questions that was asked quite regularly at my seminary, and that has really stuck to me, is this question: why do I believe what I believe? And this got me thinking about our message today. Because we're going to be looking at some of the internal things that happen on the inside of us, which we're going to call roots. So and we're going to be looking at some of the stuff that happens outside, you know, the behavior, attitudes, and responses, and the responses, and we're going to call these fruits. And so the title of my message today is Roots and Fruits. Everyone say Roots and Fruits. Who wants to live a fruitful life? Yeah. Yes. I love that excitement. Yes. I hope we all want to live fruitful lives for God. But have you thought about what it will take to create that fruitful life? Think about this. Good fruit is produced because it is the result of being in the right environment, in the right soil, with the right amount of water, with the right amount of sunlight. And that's the limit of my gardening knowledge, okay? And so, you know, and then, you know, the seed, it just takes root and it flourishes and it produces a fruitful tree, right? It produces fruit. I'm sure we've all seen some good fruit and some bad fruit in our own lives, right? I have. Have you thought about why does this bad fruit happen in my life? Why does bad fruit reveal itself in my life? Because I know I want to see good fruit. But sometimes bad fruit just comes out of us, right? So let me simplify this. Bad roots will produce bad fruits, right? So good roots will produce good fruits. We see that? Okay, Matthew 7 verses 17 to 18 says this. A good tree produces good fruit. So a good tree with good roots will produce good fruit. And a bad tree produces bad fruit. A tree with bad roots will produce bad fruit. And so a good tree can't produce good, bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So the fruit will reveal the sort of root, the sort of tree that we are, right? And I know for myself that I've wanted to, and I've tried to change my life by changing the fruit, changing the outer parts of me, right? Who's done that? Trying to change my behavior, right? Oh, I'm trying to be good, right? But without dealing with the root, without dealing with where that is coming from. And most of the time, it just leads us to frustration, right? I'm the only one, anyone else get frustrated when that happens? Yes. You know, I'm trying to, you know, lose some weight. Yeah, I know. I look pretty sharp. It's hidden under this triple XL top, okay? So, you know, trying to, you know, you jump on the scales and you're down and say, yes. Then the next week you jump on the scale and then it's up again. Oh, what did I do wrong? You ate that KFC, Henry, you know? So there's that frustration that comes in. We need to understand that the fruit that we see in our lives, the behaviors, the responses, the attitudes, is directly connected to the roots in our life, okay? The very things that we've seen in our life, the very things that we've experienced that has been spoken over us, those are the very things that have formed us and are continuing to form us as a person. And so in order to change the fruit, we need to ask this question of ourselves. What is the root cause of this fruit? What is the root cause of this fruit? Where is this behavior coming from? Where is this attitude coming from? Why am I talking to my spouse like this? Why am I responding to my parents like this? Why am I treating people like this? I hope that we can begin to see that in order to change the fruit, we need to start at the root. So I want us to see some patterns in the story that links to the Old Testament. And these patterns remind us of God's greatness, of God's power, of God's faithfulness, and God's original intention for all of humanity. I like what David Platt says. He's an author and pastor, and he says this, I'm finding deep joy in depending on Christ for the guidance only He can provide as He produces the fruit of the gospel in my life. We want to live lives that are sourced from Christ. Amen? We want to live lives that are sourced from the character of Christ, from the mission of Christ, from the purpose of Christ, from the qualities of Christ, from the nature of Christ. That's how we want to live lives, right? And so the first thing I want us to see from our passage today is this, the investment and the expectation. The investment and the expectation. In our passage that B so lovely wonderfully read today. Matthew 33. Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. So Jesus is now in Jerusalem and it's coming to the final days of Jesus' earthly ministry, okay? And so the day before this, Jesus enters the temple and he finds people selling and buying stuff in this place. There's supposed to be a house of prayer. And so Jesus like flips tables. He's like chasing people out and he says to them, he reminds them, he says this to them, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. And so the next day, Jesus comes back to the temple. This is from our passage today, and he begins teaching, and he's telling this second parable. The master of the house creates this vineyard, and he takes care of the vineyard, and he has an intention for the vineyard. Amen? He plants it. He protects it. And he gives it everything that it needs to grow and flourish and produce fruit. His intention is that it will produce fruit. Then he leases the vineyard to some tenants, to some people to take care of. He's expecting them to continue in the good work that he has started, right? Think about this. By leasing the vineyard, the owner is showing us that he's choosing to work together with other people. This is like God choosing us, right? God chooses us to work with us. He invites us to be in partnership with him. You think about Jesus. Jesus involved his disciples in the feeding of the 5,000, right? In Matthew 14, the disciples, they come to Jesus and they tell him, Jesus, hey, it's getting late in the day. We need to send these people off because they need to go and find some food. They need to go and feed themselves. And Jesus says to them, no, why don't you feed them? And they're like, we only got like 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's not going to feed this multitude. And so Jesus says to them, bring that to me. Bring those loaves and those fishes to me. And Jesus takes them and he gives thanks. He blesses them and then he gives it to his disciples and he says, now go and distribute this to his people. Go and distribute this to the crowd that is sitting here today. Jesus invited them to be part of the miracle by distributing the food, right? What part is God inviting you to play in his great story? What part is God inviting you to play in his great story? Then after this, Jesus sends his disciples ahead of him. And they go on a boat and they start going across the lake. And Jesus, he heads up to a mountain to spend some time alone with God the Father. This is Jesus creating a sacred space. This is Jesus modeling a sacred space. After that time of prayer, Jesus comes to his disciples walking on water. And he invites Peter to come to him on the water. And Peter gets out of the boat and he walks toward Jesus. He walks on water. God wants us to be active participants in his kingdom building vineyard. Amen. The owner expects the tenants to understand their responsibility. Look after the vineyard. Take care of it. Tend to it so that it will be fruitful. This reminds us that God wants his creation, us, his children, his sons and daughters, to fulfill its purpose and produce fruit that brings him glory. In John 15, verse 8, it says this, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. That's what Jesus says. When we're producing lots of good fruit, we're reflecting what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus. We're reflecting what it looks to be a follower of Jesus. And that brings glory to God. Are we producing good fruit? Are we producing fruit that is honoring of God, that is reflective of a disciple of Jesus? This parable, it echoes a broader biblical theme of God's longing for his creation to fulfill its intended purpose of bringing God glory. Now, I want you to keep that in mind now as we're going to jump to the Old Testament. And we're going to see this pattern in Genesis 1, verses 26 to 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds and of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So in Matthew 21, it's the owner planting the vineyard. Here in Genesis, it's God planting the garden. God creating the garden, right? We see that? In Matthew, it's the vineyard that's leased to people to care for. For people to care for it. In Genesis, God gives man the responsibility to care for the garden, right? God has always intended for man to be in partnership with him in the garden, in the vineyard. Right from the beginning, that's always been God's intention. We're to be part of it. God has always been about partnership. To care for, to have dominion over all that God has created. And only humanity has been given that unique privilege. This shows how important every person is because we reflect God's image. We are God's image bearers. Amen? We all look like God because we're made in the image of God. We look around, we're like, no, you look different. God is beautiful in every aspect. Amen? You are made in the image and glory of God. So God invites us to be part of his work in creating and redeeming the world. That's pretty cool. And this is God's investment and his expectation. Now, the next thing is this. Number two, the wickedness of the tenants. Ooh. The tenants refused to give the owner his fruits, and they mistreated his servants, even killing some of them. Verse 34 of our passage today, when the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Wow, that's pretty harsh what these tenants are doing, right? In this parable, Jesus is telling the people that are there in the crowd. These tenants represented the religious leaders of the time. And in the crowd, there were religious leaders in that crowd. They were hearing this. They were hearing what Jesus is teaching. And these tenants had failed in their responsibility to produce the fruits that the landowner expected, that God had expected. And these tenants rejected God's authority and his rightful claim over his own vineyard. The vineyard represented God's people. God's people. The religious leaders, they didn't take care of God's people. When God had come to claim his fruit, his people, the tenants acted like they owned the people, that they owned the vineyard, right? Even the mistreatment of the owner's servants, how some of them were beaten and some of them were stoned and even some were killed, right? These religious leaders were rejecting, even if you look at the Bible as a whole, prophets were sent throughout all of time, right? This is God's messengers being sent to his people. And his religious leaders, they kept on denying. They kept on saying, nah. The disobedience and hostility towards the messengers of God demonstrated their hardened hearts and unwillingness to follow God's instructions. When we have a hardened heart, it will be reflected in our treatment of those around us. The roots that we have within us will be seen in the fruit that is displayed to those around us, to how we treat people. Now let's jump back into the garden and I'll show you this pattern back then. In Genesis 3, verses 8 to 9. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And so here in the garden, the man and the woman are trying to hide themselves in God's garden, okay? In Matthew, the tenants are trying to hide themselves in the owner's vineyard, in God's vineyard. Here in the garden, man and woman are trying to hide themselves from God's presence. In Matthew, the tenants are trying to hide from God's representatives. Ever since sin entered the heart of Adam and Eve, it had now distorted their view of God. Their view of the owner had now been distorted. Their view of the creator, it was blurred. And this was causing them to respond in this way of trying to hide from God. The wickedness of the tenants, the wickedness of the heart of man, their bad root was now producing this bad fruit. So what does this mean for us? We all have been born into sin. Since the fall of man, we have all fallen short of the glory of God, right? So because we all have this tendency towards sin, there will always be an avenue, there will always be an opportunity for bad roots to take root in our lives, right? Listen to this. Sin is only one decision away, right? Sin is only one decision away. But we need to decide like Joshua did in Joshua 24, where he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," right? It's these small choices that can guide us towards producing good fruit. Who wants to produce good fruit in their lives? Yeah. Wanting good fruit in our life is good. But the reality of bad fruit is, you know, in our life can be, it can be a sensitive or even a paralyzing reality for some people, right? It's not something easy. When people are doing things in their life and they suddenly begin to, you know, question themselves, whether something's right or whether something is wrong, this can usually trigger a sense of shame. And shame can be a crippling weight for some people if they do not know how to navigate through that. Think about a person that maybe has an addiction to pornography, alcohol, or some other substance. A reliance on something, an external substance, right? When they arrive at this place where they want to change, where they want to try and change, there can be a real struggle, a real burden of shame that can come upon them when they begin to recognize and try to identify this negative behavior. And so one way of lifting the shame off of these people is to call these things fruit. Right? Call it fruit. That negative addiction that you have, it's bad fruit. Right? That negative behavior that you're doing in your life, that's bad fruit. Okay? Because when we begin to talk to people through those moments and give them this new language of fruits and roots, and we tell them that, yes, that is sin, and that is bad fruit. That is bad fruit. People will begin to see it as a lighter weight of shame, because they begin to see, as we identify, oh, so if it's a fruit, then there has to be a root. And if we can identify that root can be uprooted. And so the fruit won't show anymore, right? Roots and fruits. Everybody say roots and fruits. When we deal with the root, that fruit cannot be produced anymore, right? So the answer is not just about picking the fruit, right? We don't just keep picking the fruit. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a bad one. Yeah, take that off. Take that off. Take that off. Take that off. What's going to happen to it? It's going to grow back. It's going to grow back. Because what we're doing is just trying to pick the fruit. In order to get rid of the fruit, we need to get to the root. We need to identify the root of that fruit. And the root of any fruit is usually found in a wound of some sort. Some trauma that we may have suffered, usually when we're younger. That experience that tore away or fractured our heart in a way that it damaged our view of people, that it damaged our view of God, that it damaged our view of relationship, that it damaged our view of marriage, that it damaged our view of love. So we create these sinful responses like, oh, you want to hurt me? Well, I'm going to hurt you first, right? It's this protection sort of mechanism that we activate in ourselves, right? And we make these bitter root judgments. We make these inner vows. Oh, I'm never going to be like my mom. Oh, I'm never going to be like my dad. I'm never going to treat my kids like that. And then on top of that, we take on lies and ungodly beliefs like, no one loves me. I can't trust anybody anymore. But do you want to know what the most empowering thing about these roots are? Is that they can be dealt with in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of Jesus. You don't have to be stuck there any longer. Once we have identified that behavior as sin, that it is bad fruit, right? That's bad fruit in your life. Okay. Let's walk through this. Okay, let's identify where is this bad fruit coming from, right? We find that root, and then we uproot that root, right? Too many R words in there. And then when we find that root, right, what we do with that root is that we bring it before Jesus, and we ask the Lord Jesus, Jesus, break this hold of this root in my life, and we bring it to the cross, right? We bring it to the cross, and we allow Jesus and His Holy Spirit to deal with us, to restore us in that place. And we are able to then walk in a newness, in a freshness, in a new place, restored by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's just a snippet of what we can experience at our Rise weekend. Because I'm telling you now, hearing it on a Sunday in the space of like 30, 40 minutes, that's not enough. Trust me, I know. God wants to do so much more in us, but we have to be willing to let God come in and do what He needs to do. Amen? Okay, Matthew 21, verse 37. Finally, He sent His Son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. These verses can be summed up in this: the sending, the rejection, and the killing of the son. This parable should sound a lot like Jesus' death that He's about to walk through, right? We get to see that coming now. But Jesus' listeners back then, they didn't know what was coming. Jesus was basically foretelling what was going to happen to Him. Jesus is sent by His Father. And these tenants, these religious leaders, they crucified and killed Him. God's decision to send His Son reveals His patience, His mercy, His persistence in seeking a relationship with His people. Despite the greed, the selfishness, and the arrogance of the tenants, even the mistreatment of God's servants that were sent, God still believed that these tenants would respect and honor His Son. But they didn't. God, in His infinite love and grace, sends his son, Jesus, into the world to reconcile humanity back to himself. Because God loves us so much, he sent his son, Jesus, to bring us back to him. Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father. And he has all power and all authority to rule over God's kingdom. Even those roots that are already embedded in each and every one of us, that we may acknowledge or not, that we will see pop up now and again, hurt, trauma, bitterness, unforgiveness, hate, judgment, doubt, fear. Jesus has been given all authority and power to rule over all that as well. Amen? We're nearly home, nearly home. So yesterday was my niece's first birthday was yesterday. And before, like, we had a birthday in a park. And before her birthday, my sister, she drops her off to me and Helen at home. She said, "Oh, can you look after her? It's a bit too cold to take her, you know, early to the park." And, like, you know, kids, when they go to different people, the first 20 minutes, they're good, right? They're like, "Yeah." And then after, "Where's my mommy?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh." But as I was holding her in my arms, she began to fall asleep. And as she was sleeping in my arms, I began to think about, what sort of woman is she going to grow up to be? What sort of fruits are going to come out of her life? She's a one-year-old lying in my arms, one-year-old. And I'm thinking about how she's going to impact the world. How she's going to live out her life. And so as I was holding her, I just felt God was saying, "Pray for her." So I just began to pray for my niece. "God, I pray for protection over her. I pray for covering over her. I pray that you'll bring the right people around her to help nurture and grow her, Lord God. That she would be a woman that will be sold out for you, Lord God." And as I was praying for her, God was reminding me, those are good roots that you're putting down in her. So as I'm looking around the auditorium this morning, I'm wondering, and I know that there have been some roots that have been spoken into your life. There have been some not so good roots that have been planted into you. There have been some not so nice things that have been spoken into you. Because that's just where life is. Life is like that. When we open ourselves up to people, there's going to be some stuff that will be said against us. There's going to be some stuff that is done to us. And as we get older and older, sometimes we just forget about it. Sometimes we just like, "I can't deal with it. I don't need to deal with it. I'll just forget about it. Just put it in the back." But there are seeds in you now. There are seeds in your life. And as we get older, it's going to appear in the way that we treat people. It's going to come out in how we respond to our kids. So as I was praying this week, I'm really sensing God is wanting to speak life over some of us in here this morning. He wants to speak into your situation. Right where you are. He knows what you've gone through. He knows the things that you're thinking about. He knows everything about us. And I believe he's wanting to speak to you and your situation. And so as we prepare to go into some time of ministry, I'm really believing that there are people in here that want to hear from God. And I know we got prayer ministers in here that want to speak that life into you. They want to pray and stand with you and encourage you. And so if I can invite us all to be upstanding this morning. Father, I thank you for all that you're doing, all that you have done in our lives. Thank you that you know each and every one of us that is here this morning. And so, Father, as we respond to your word this morning, as we come to you, Lord God, with our whole being, with our heart, our broken, cracked, fragile hearts, Lord God. And we want to come before you this morning. Lord, I know that there are people in this place that want to hear from you. They want to hear a word from you this morning. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way in each of us this morning. So I want to take some time. If you want some prayer this morning, I want to open up this part. Come to the front. And if you want prayer, we've got a team here that would love to pray with you. Whatever it is, you don't even have to say anything, but just allow our prayer ministry team to just begin to pray over you, begin to speak life into you, begin to declare God's word over you. The condition of our hearts requires God's handiwork on it. So I want to make this space, create this space for us to respond in that way. If I can invite our worship team up as well, they're going to lead us in worship. So if that is you, just come to the front. Just come to the front. There. Thank you, Jesus. Don't have to wait for the music. Just come to the front. Come to the front. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And if I can invite up our prayer ministers to come to the front as well. Awesome. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. If there's something that is pounding in your heart, and you know that God wants you to begin this process today, I invite you to come forward. You're not coming to me, you're coming to God. You're coming to stand before God. This is like you taking that step and saying, God, I want to do business with you. I want to meet you this morning. I want to hear from you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for each of my brothers and sisters that are up here this morning, Lord God. Father, you know where each of them are at. You know, Lord God. You know every intimate detail of them, Lord God. And so I pray right now, Lord God, you see the condition of their hearts. You see the things that they've walked through in life, Lord God. And so today, Father, today they come before you. And we ask for a fresh touch of you this morning, Lord God. May your anointing fill them, renew them, restore them, Lord God. The condition of their heart, Lord God, whatever it is that is happening inside of them, Lord God, may you have your way. May you begin to mend. May you begin to renew and restore those things that they have been hurt by, things that have been spoken over them, things that have been done to them, things that judgments that have been brought upon them, Lord God. And so right now, Lord God, we ask, Father, Holy Spirit, embrace them right where they are. Speak to them. Heal them, Lord God, right where they are. May you have your way with them, Lord God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So our ministry team will come and pray. Awesome. For you out there, Why don't you pray with the person next to you? You just ask them, you know, is there anything that I can be praying for you with? Is that all right? And we'll take the next minute or so to pray with each other. Maybe it's just a time of encouragement, right? Ministry doesn't just happen from the front here. It happens right there where you're standing. Okay, that person right next to you, they are a minister. They can be a minister as well. So I want to encourage you. Just ask that person, is there something I can pray for? If there's nothing, just pray for God's blessing, God's goodness to be released upon their life. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.